Thank you very much. Hi, this is Dr. Roy Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials on this beautiful Saturday morning. Sometimes when I drive to the radio station, I listen to Radio Health Journal. I want to find out the cutting edge data or data that comes from the health industry. And this morning I listened to a 15-minute lecture on the only way to cure homeless was to give them money. Now, the only issue was they did not say where that money was going to come from, so I'm kind of curious about that. Every so often I'll get on Facebook, and I just like reading what people post, and sometimes the comments are downright comical and humorous, but this one right here I took very seriously. A gentleman by the name of Ian Smith, he owns a gym in New Jersey, and I don't know if you know, but I'm sure you do since you watch television so much. I mean, isn't that what you do to spend your free time, is watch the news? There are some people, believe it or not, that do not watch television. They choose to read, or they engage in human conversation, or they try to invest in relationships, or they like being outside. I know, is that radical or what? But this one right here, I liked it. And his name is Ian Smith, and all I want to do is I just want to read his quote. And I'm going to see if you can piece it together, okay? Here's the quote from Ian Smith. Everything the government is doing right now is designed to make you fat, weak, stupid, depressed, lazy, and reliant on the crumbs they wipe off their plates. Health is being replaced by pharmaceuticals. Education is replaced by programming. Hard work is replaced by handouts. These people hate you. I like that. Okay. I'm going to read this to you right here. Animal, and just take this with a grain of salt. You got to understand that cats are designed to eat mice and rats and birds. They're on a raw meat diet. So just kind of take some of it with a grain of salt. Animal feeding experiments show that many changes besides bone growth take place when cooked foods are used. One extensive study involving 900 cats over a period of 10 years. Now, folks, I'm assuming it was some lady here in Jacksonville they used for the study. I think there's probably two or three women in Jacksonville that have over 900 cats on their property. I'm just joking. That was done by F.M. Pottinger Jr., and he's an M.D., a medical doctor. Cats receiving raw meat and raw milk, they reproduce normally from one generation to the next. All kittens showed the same good bone structure. They were able to nurse. They were resistant to infections and parasites, and they behaved in a predictable manner. Hey, they were cats. It was fun. From generation to generation, they maintained regular broad faces with adequate nasal cavities. They had broad dental arches and regular definition with firm pink membranes and no evidence of infection. Okay? Cats receiving cooked meat, they presented quite a different picture. Abortion was about 25% in the first generation, and 70% in the second generation. Deliveries were difficult, many cats dying in labor. Mortality rates of the kittens were high, frequently due to the failure of the mother to lactate or kittens being too frail to nurse. The kittens did not have the homogeneity of the cats fed on raw foods. Instead, each kitten was different in its skeletal pattern. In the second generation, the kittens had irregularities in the skull and the longer, narrower faces. The teeth did not erupt at the regular time, and the diseases of the gums developed. By the third generation, the bones were very fine, with scarcely enough structure to hold the skull together. The teeth were smaller and more regular. Some mothers steadily declined in health, dying from some obscure tissue exhaustion about 3 months after delivery. The cooked meat-fed cats were irritable. the female's dangerous to handle, and the male's more docile, often to the point of being unaggressive. Sex interest was slack or perverted, and skin lesions, allergies, and intestinal parasites became progressively worse from one generation to the next. Pneumonia, diarrhea, osteomyelitis, that's infection of the bones, arthritis, and many other degenerative conditions familiar in human medicine were observed. The kittens of the third generation were so degenerated that none lived beyond the 6th month, thus terminating the strain. At autopsy, the cooked meat-fed females were frequently found to have ovarian atrophy and uterine congestion, and the males showed failure in the development of active sperm. Organs showed signs of degenerative disease. Bones were longer but smaller in diameter and had less calcium. In the third generation, some had bones as soft as rubber, a true condition of osteogenesis. This comes from Emory W. Thurston, Ph.D., in a book called Nutrition for Tots to Teens. You probably think I'm making this up, don't you? Anyway, if somebody's wanting to get in, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
I had a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to talk to Dr. Morgan about high blood pressure.
Ask away.
Well, I just feel like my blood pressure has been higher than normal, and I just wanted to know if there was anything you could tell me I could do.
All right. Tell me what the numbers are.
Well, they range anywhere from 155 over 86. That's probably the highest.
Okay, can I just use that number and explain it to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the top number is called the systolic pressure. That's when your heart's contracting, so the arteries are under the maximum pressure. And the diastolic is the lower number, which represents when the pressure comes off of the contraction of the heart. Mm-hmm. So if I take the number 155, I'm doing it right now the old-fashioned way. Let me see. Take the 5, 4, 15. So we've got 9, 14 from 8. Okay, so what you have is you have a 69-point pulse pressure gap. So what this means is the normal pulse pressure gap is going to be the difference between the systolic and the diastolic. So if somebody had blood pressure of, say, 120 over 80, you could do the math on that pretty quick and say, hey, there's a 40-point difference mm-hmm. between the top number and the low number. And so the wider these numbers get apart, what that really means is, and I realize what I'm going to say, it may not really sound like it makes sense, but just kind of hear me out. You have a 69-point pulse pressure gap. What that means is, in your body, you have a condition where your adrenal glands, they are either releasing too much cortisol, which is kind of the chemical that your body releases when you're scared or you're agitated, or you have what I might call anxious thoughts or anxiety, or your mind is racing, or you feel overwhelmed. There's either too much adrenaline or too much cortisol.
Okay.
And so does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could it be possible, and I'm not asking you to tell me too much information, could it be possible you just have too much stress right now?
Well, I really don't feel like I do. That's why I was concerned, because I really don't feel like I have a lot of stress.
Okay. Well, when you lay down at night to go to sleep, how long does it take to fall asleep?
It does take me a while to go to sleep. I do think a lot, but it's not. I just think about things I need to do, but
right.
I guess that would be stress, huh?
Well, you know, I'm not trying to, like, label you that way, but let me use myself as an example. If I lay down in bed at 10 o'clock at night and it takes me 45 minutes to an hour to fall asleep because my mind is processing, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I know this sounds radical, what I'm fixing to say, but we have within our bodies, it's called the sympathetic nervous system. That's known as fight or flight. And when we start processing and thinking, it actually gets us into that stress state.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds weird, but so if you could lay down in bed and not think about everything that you need to do, you'd like that very much, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, what's happening is you're creating a little bit of stress in your body, and so Wouldn't it be nice if all I had to do was just say, hey, stop thinking?
yeah, I've tried to tell myself that.
Does your body listen to you?
No, not
okay, well, let me just tackle this right here piece by piece. All right, number one. There is a mineral known as magnesium. And it doesn't take a great genius to figure out that it's very, very low in our soils. And one of the reasons why it's low in the soils is because the overuse of man-made or man-processed rock phosphate fertilizers. Mm-hmm. Okay? So when there's a lack of magnesium, you tend to have a greater expression of cortisol. And when there's too much cortisol, it tells your body, hey, let's break down our muscles and convert them right into sugar. And so one of the signs that cortisol levels could be too high is it takes longer than 10 minutes to fall asleep. And so what we want to do is we want to help assist the body by trying to naturally target what do we do to lower cortisol. So if you started supplementing your diet with magnesium, that may act as what I would call nature's natural calcium channel blocker, which could mean your blood pressure could start to be lower as a consequence.
Okay.
And so the article that I read this morning before when I went on the air was this. It was real simple. Every time that a human being drinks coffee, they're going to be dumping minerals through their kidneys and from the urine. And so is there any chance you drink coffee at all?
Yes, I drink coffee every day. Not all day or anything. Just
right.
You see a cup.
But there are people that drink coffee all day long like it's water. And that's the only form of fluid they get in their body. So every time you drink coffee, you're going to have mineral loss.
Okay.
And so if we just take it from that, what's one of the simple things you could do to try to help reset your blood pressure issue? Number one, remineralize the body. Mm-hmm. One of the ways of doing that would be having one green salad a day. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I really don't care what type of salad you eat. If you tell me you want it to be spinach or you want it to be a kale salad or mixed greens or you want to walk on the side of the road and pick dandelion greens and wild herbs, that's fine by me. Have at it. But if you eat greens, what you're doing is these are giving you what are called alkaline ash minerals. You can just go a long way with one salad a day. Do you like salads?
I do.
Oh, good. This is a home run then. Do you ever go for a walk at all?
Yes.
Study after study shows that if a woman will walk first thing in the morning, mm-hmm. And really, I would just make it sound simple. If you told me, what do you think about me walking 15 minutes away from my front door, and as soon as I hit the 15-minute mark, turn around and go 15 minutes back, I'd say that's great. But what that's been shown to do is lower the cortisol levels.
Okay.
If you had a baby to hold, oh my goodness, that would lower your cortisol levels, wouldn't it?
All
that hugging and touching. See, that's my prescription for you. You need more kissing, more hugging, more hand-holding, more hugs. What do you think about that prescription?
Well, I could do that.
You know, it's very expensive to hold hands, isn't it? No, it's free. And so the less refined carbohydrates, the lower the cortisol level.
Okay.
Is there any chance you consume a lot of sugar?
Yeah, on some days I do. I mean, not every day, but
I had a lady recently. She said, I'm about to die. My blood pressure, I can feel my arteries. I'm going to stroke it. I'm going to be exhausted. I said, well, there's one thing you can do until you come see me. I said, you could just do an apple fast. And she said, what's that? I said, just eat all the apples you want. Instead of eating food, just drink water. You can drink herbal tea. And you can eat all the apples you want. So instead of eating regular food, you just eat apples. And so what I want to submit to you is, one of the ways to kind of reset or recalibrate the fluid dynamics of your blood, and I'm kind of including the kidneys in that also, is just to give your body a rest by eating apples.
Okay.
Now, I think your blood pressure was like 220 over 122. I don't know if those numbers would scare you at all. I don't
they
like
would.
Them. Yeah, they would scare me too. And so after a few days of doing that, you know what she said her blood pressure was when she woke up? All of a sudden, it was 124 over 78, and I thought to myself, well, looky there. God
did this.
Yeah, I think
these numbers are stressing me more than anything else in my life.
Well, you know what? That's true. You look at him and you go, great, what's going on? This is stressing me out. Mm-hmm. And so, but if you look at those numbers for what they are, number one, they tell me that there's a little bit of stress on your kidneys. Anytime the lower number, which is the diastolic, goes above 80, I start thinking to myself, hey, Roy, you need to check this person's kidneys. Now, I do my own version of examination, but it's very, very simple. If I can take and press my thumb over the flat portion of the tibia around the ankle, and a person kicks me in the head, then I know that they have too much fluid and painful inflammation. And that means, okay, the kidneys must not be... So, do you have any fluid retention at all?
I don't think so. I mean...
Then you probably don't then. But your kidneys, this is the bottom line right here. They have almost complete authority over your blood pressure. So anything that stresses the kidneys and weakens them is not going to bode well for your blood pressure.
Okay.
So eating the green salad, that's going to be good for the kidneys. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but there's a substance that's found on planet Earth called baking soda.
Yes, sir.
They did an archaeological dig of a Roman town, and they said, aha, we've discovered where the kitchen is in this abode. And they said, how do you know that? Because there's baking soda here.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting. But there's a lot of people that one thing that they can do to rapidly help take the stress off their kidneys or soothe them would be to take somewhere between a quarter to maybe a half a teaspoon of baking soda, stir it in a glass of water. Yes, it looks kind of cloudy and milky for the first 10 seconds. But if you keep stirring it vigorously, it will just clear right up and be just fine. But baking soda, that helps soothe some of the stress on the kidneys because it has a gentle alkalizing effect.
Okay.
As opposed to being high acid. So if you want to stress your kidneys out, just eat sugar or drink soft drinks, anything with phosphoric acid in them. And so if you did that, you would see a change for the better.
Okay.
Now, personally, I am a huge fan of a type of fruit called the lemon.
Oh, yeah.
Lemon is one of the greatest solvents to help dissolve gunk and debris in the arteries and the kidneys that I know of. Does it do it in one nanosecond? Nope, it does not. But if you do it over time consistently, your body will become cleaner and cleaner.
Okay.
There is a type of flower known as a hibiscus flower.
Mm-hmm. I did get me some hibiscus tea this week. I did
good.
Do that.
If you just made 3 cups a day of, I'm just talking about 3 individual bags of a hibiscus tea. Like I told a lady yesterday morning, she was saying, I cannot find hibiscus anywhere. It's impossible to find. I said, well, just get a herbal tea where hibiscus is a main ingredient.
Yes.
And what it may say is, it may say the ingredients, hibiscus tea number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then it may say orange peel number two. Well, that's good enough.
Okay.
That'll work. But hibiscus has a very unique effect. And in one study, it worked every bit as good as taking pharmaceutical drugs. Now,
what I don't want to do.
Exactly. Is there any possibility that a drug can have a negative side effect?
Oh, yes.
You've never heard of vaccines causing blood clots in women, have you?
Yeah, I have.
You have? Really? Tell me about that. What's going on?
I have heard that recently.
And you know, the thing of it is, I have had so many conversations that have gone south talking about the vaccines, but you know what? They're the one that approached me and started asking me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, you know, what I've learned, and I'd be the first to admit, I have not studied this topic near as much as what I want to. I'm still a work in progress, but I think that I've studied it more than the average person by far.
Yes.
And so there is a substance called a vaccine. It's not really a vaccine. It's just a... Anyway,
yeah.
Let me get off the topic on that. Anyway, so what we want to do is we want to make it easy for your kidneys to heal and repair themselves.
Okay.
And so if you wanted to do a 3-day apple fast, you could.
Okay.
I don't care if they're Fuji apples or... Johnna Golds, what else do they have out there? Red Delicious, Pink Ladies, Honeycrisp. Yeah, any type of apple that you want.
Okay.
That's really a brilliant strategy. Have you ever heard of fasting being good to give the body a rest and to reset everything?
Yes, sir.
If somebody told me that they had like a mass growing in their colon, I'd say, hey, go live in the mountains in a cabin for the next 3 weeks and don't eat. just make yourself water with a little bit of salt so you can get your mineral electrolytes and mm-hmm. herbal teas, and just fast. Give your body a chance to heal itself. And I, go ahead.
You mentioned magnesium. How much do you think I should supplement with that?
Well, obviously, you need to take the manufacturer, whatever the bottle says to take, okay. and you might even take just a little bit more than what they recommend. Now, the worst thing that could happen is you could have a touch of loose stool or diarrhea.
Okay.
You know that I'm not trying to sabotage you.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, I am. I own stock in toilet paper, so every time you go to the bathroom, my profits go up. No, I'm joking about that. But you need to give the body what it needs. And I would say that one of the issues with high blood pressure is the body's starving for magnesium.
Okay.
And so if you drink Coca-Cola, then stop drinking it.
No, I don't drink a lot of sodas.
Good.
Okay, well, I really appreciate all this information.
You're welcome. I wish you the very best.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I don't even think I've given the phone number out, but the phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Okay, we'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, but getting a little older and getting a few more problems here and there.
Oh, rats. Which ones do you like the least?
Macular degeneration.
Is that the one you want to go after and tackle first?
Yeah.
Okay. There is a... Well, here's what I need you to understand first. Number one. The number one reason why your body gets the chemical signal to grow blood vessels over your macula, which causes you to become blind, is because of lack of oxygen. Have you ever heard that before?
Yep, listening to you.
Okay, so I'm going to say that your eyes, they require so much oxygen. Supposedly, they use one-third of all the oxygen that comes in your body. I think the brain is number one, but the eyes are just a close second. They're number two. The eyes use more oxygen and energy than even the muscles do. I just find that amazing. But it's just a very high energy oxygen demand organ system in the body. It's just incredible. And so if you do not supply, if you can't get the oxygen to the macula, then the eye says, oh crap, what are we going to do? And it says, okay, here's our plan. Since he's not giving us the oxygen that we want, we're going to have to grow new blood vessels to try to supply more oxygen to keep the eye alive. But the problem is, you grow all these new arteries and vessels across your visual field. That means it blocks out the sun. Not good. So let me tell you what I think here. Number one, there is a mineral that is found in nature that's called zinc. Zinc is one of the highest concentration elements in the eyes. It's just unbelievable. And so the typical American diet that's going to be based on junk food and sugar, it's just going to be a zinc-deficient diet. And on top of that, it's going to suck whatever zinc reserves you have out of you. And so in order to process sugar, you've got to have zinc. Well, what is the body supposed to do if you're taking in all this high-sugar diet and you don't have enough zinc in reserve? Well, there's going to be some systems that get shut down because there's not enough zinc to go around. You're just spread thin. So if a person said, I'm going to greatly reduce the amount of carbohydrate intake, well, there's only one way that I know of to successfully do that. You've got to increase your dietary fat. One of the ways is just eating really, really fatty meats. Have you ever heard of like oily fish like halibut or salmon or sardines?
Yeah, I got some in my freezer.
Where do you live exactly? I'm going to need to come over and check it out.
I don't have that big of a supply.
Oh, is that your way of saying don't come over, Dr. Morgan?
friend in Alaska is down in the lower 48 in the wintertime, and he once in a while sends me a 20-pound package of fish that he's caught.
Oh, man, what kind of a good friend is that? He's awesome, isn't he?
Yeah, he's even a better friend when he invites me up there to go fishing with him.
Oh, when's the best time of the year to go fishing in Alaska?
Usually mid to late July.
Okay. Give me a shout. I want to go, too. I need some fish. So anyway, if you focus on eating the rich, fatty fish, that's going to help put your eyes in a much better situation. So if you tried a simple experiment, why don't you try for 1 month eating one green salad a day? Because if you eat a green salad, you're actually infusing your body with more oxygen. You're taking a load off of it. You're helping to alkalize it. Almost every reaction that takes place when it comes to macular degeneration, it's very, very acidic in nature. So what we want to do is we want to kind of deacidify, or maybe the better way of saying is that we want to try to alkalize your body. And so if you could just cut out all grain and all sugar for about a month, we want to see if we can start the process of turning this around. Now, I've used a lot of nutritional supplements over the years. The number one to reverse macular is called Cruciferous Complete by Standard Process. I've never found it's called Cruciferous Complete. It's just made of kale and Brussels sprouts. It's highly concentrated. But out of every one that I've tried, that's the one that gets the most positive checkup results. Like I've even had people say, oh no, I've got advanced macular, I'm going blind. And they go back the next month and the eye doctor says, we really think that we made an error or mistake in our original examination because we don't see all the signs of macular like we did before. And I'm thinking to myself, that's called healing. That's called healing and repair if it reverses that quickly. So this is a pretty scary deal, but you've got to get more oxygen. And so there's a substance also found in nature that's called resveratrol. That's the flavonoid compound that's found in the skins of grapes. So when a person drinks a glass of red wine or they eat grapes, they're getting resveratrol. I even think that blueberries have a little bit, but not the same concentration as if you were to drink a glass of red wine if you wanted to. Now, they sell it in supplement form, too. But I'd say maybe one of the number one issues that you face when somebody has either memory issues or they have Alzheimer's or dementia or they become very forgetful, it's called ischemic microvascular disease or microvascular ischemia of the brain. It's just the blood vessels become so narrowed and so full of plaque, they can't deliver enough oxygen to the brain or to the eyes. And so what's one way that you can deliver more oxygen to your eyes? Well, you can exercise every day. And most studies that I read, I'm trying to figure out how much exercise does it take or how much walking would it take to get oxygen to the eyes. It's probably going to be close to an hour and a half a day. So like if a person said, I'm going to wake up and go for a walk this morning, what if you walked for 45 minutes in the morning nonstop or 45 minutes, you know, in the evening? Two different sessions. That would work. If a person says, I do not want to do that, what I want to do is I just want to do my normal chores around the house, I don't know the answer there to that. I know that if you set your mind like Flint, hey, I'm going to walk 22 and a half minutes away from the house and 22 and a half minutes back, that would do it. But the stop and go of working, I don't know if that'll actually get enough oxygen. I mean, I could be wrong about that. So what do you think about what I'm telling you?
Well, the only thing I think so far is you need to tell me how to spell that Standard Process supplement.
Okay. It's called Cruciferous. 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 And the second word is complete. I read a study a couple of years ago that said people that consumed yellow bell peppers, they had the lowest levels of cataracts and macular degeneration. What type of peppers am I asking you to eat?
Yellow.
There you go. You got it.
Bell.
What is the word yellow in Spanish? Amarillo. I know that because I had a Spanish person yesterday teach me that. Okay.
My next question...
Are you walking 45 minutes twice a day?
Pardon?
Are you walking an hour and a half a day?
No.
Do you walk at all?
No, but I go to the fitness center.
Okay.
And I probably get somewhere between 3 and 5 hours a week of being aerobic.
Hey, that sounds good. So let's just say the 3 hours a week, you got 2 hours worth of exercise for your eyes right there. Now we just need about, let me see, 3 hour and a half. What's an hour and a half times 7? I don't know. 10? You're going to need like 10 hours
a week.
10 and a half,
something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So you're almost halfway there. But these would be the bare minimums because your blood, that is your oxygen and nutrient delivery system to the eyes. So this is good. You got a good start.
What about cataracts?
Well, I just said yellow bell peppers result in the lowest cataracts.
Yes.
If you had very, and what happened, cataracts just means that your eyes are beginning to rust. The lens is starting to rust and decay. Now, for mild cataracts, there's a substance called CAN-C drops. You can put the, they're
called, what?
It's called CAN-C, and it's spelled C-A-N for can. And then the capital letter C. So, CAN-C. These are drops you put in your eyes. They work for mild cataracts. I saw a man one time with a cataract. It looked like somebody sprayed his eye with white paint. There's no way it's going to dissolve that big of a cataract. That would be going to an ophthalmologist and having a cataract removal and a new lens implant surgery.
All right, now I just got one more question, but this one's not for me.
Who's it for?
It's for a missionary friend of mine and his wife. They're out of the country most of the time, and she has this H. pylori.
Weak adrenal glands?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. They're trying to treat it in Belize.
Well,
not having much success.
The whole reason that I read that article about the cats that were fed the wrong food is because they get sick and they have infections. When cats are fed the food that God designed to eat, they don't get H. pylori. But with human beings, the more stress they're under, the weaker they become. That's where H. pylori causes problems.
Hmm.
So she's got an opportunity to eat better, probably. And there's a good chance that her adrenal glands, which is a system in the body that helps you contend and deal with stress, that she's probably just a little bit run down. I mean, could that be true?
Yeah, I think they are, both of them. They're not spring chickens. They're not quite as old as I am, but no.
Well, I can hear your voice. You sound like you're 48 or 49. Am I close?
Yeah, right.
So when the adrenal glands become exhausted, that's when H. pylori takes over.
Yeah, well, these like I said, they're not quite as old as I am. I will be through with my 75th year this year. And they're both diabetic, and they still...
Well, you can't really overcome an infection if your sugar's too high. I mean, literally. I'm just trying to make it sound simple. The number one predictor over an infection that you never get over is how much sugar is available for it to eat. And so if her blood sugar was like below 100, I would have great confidence for her. But if the blood sugar is high, that's where you have chronic viral infections. That's where you have H. pylori. That's where you have bacterial infections. And I would just venture a guess, with diabetes, she's got chronic infections that are just not going away at all.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I try to instill on them that they need to have better diets and more exercise. But
yeah, there you go. That's good advice.
It some people, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Wait. What did you just say? Lead a horse to water? What does that mean?
Well, after coming to Texas, I found out that there's more to that saying.
Oh, so you had an eye-opening experience when you got here, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You can't lead a horse to you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Well, you got to give him a You got to give him a stimulus check if you want him to drink.
No, you. But you can salt his oats.
You can salt his oats. That's good.
Well, I should have known that because I raised horses before I come to Texas, and when my mares before they had their foals, I always salted their food a little bit because it helped them have more milk.
Hey, what are you supposed to do with that Bible verse in the book of Timothy that says, "He who will not work, let him not eat"? What do you do with that?
You know, I think if you adhere to the stuff of the Bible, then you have a much better life and a much better nation.
Oh my goodness, yes. So you're recommending that we salt oats of people that are dehydrated, not drinking water. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for your phone call. Appreciate it a whole bunch.
Thank you for your time, Doc.
You're welcome, buddy. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too.
Yeah, I always find it very interesting. The second topic that was on the Radio Health Journal this morning was the viral expert was saying, you know, for all we know, this virus is going to become weaker. It's just going to go away. And let me just tell you something, folks. Viruses, they try to become stronger, not weaker. They're not trying to become weaker. They want to reproduce. My goodness, I pushed that button 15 times. I finally got it. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we have a 2.5-year-old who's healthy, has healthy weight, is active, good health in every way other than...
Is it a man baby or a woman?
A boy.
Okay.
We have a baby. Yeah, boy.
Okay.
A son. And we don't do sugars, refined foods, and stuff like that.
Oh, my goodness. You are an awesome dad. Way to go.
I get a lot of looks when people try to offer them candy, and we say no.
What is that every Sunday morning? Here's some Starburst, kids.
Amazing.
Good job.
Thanks. But... We noticed that he has parasites, and we tried Pararid and
diatomaceous. Wait! What do you mean parasites?
Little white worms.
Oh, those are pinworms.
Pinworms, right?
So, how many dogs and cats do you have in the house?
We don't have any animals inside. And let's see.
Well, does the kid have contact with these animals?
Rarely.
Okay.
We don't have any animals outside either. None that you know of, then. Well, yeah, right.
It's probably like raccoons running across your front yard every night.
Yeah, and squirrels and whatever
else.
So, like I said, we tried the Pararid and diatomaceous earth. Didn't get any results from that, noticeably. So we just started Mimosa pudica 3 weeks ago, and hoping that'll help. But... the other thing is we've found that we test his blood sugar, and it ranges from 80 to 104 all day long, you know, testing it before meals and
Does anybody in your family history have diabetes or type 1 diabetes or anything like that?
So my wife's father definitely, I think it's hypoglycemia, and she dealt with it some as a teenager and has pretty well kept it under control just, you know, by eating well and so forth.
How do you test his blood sugar? Just prick his finger?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Are you free of blood sugar problems? Are you healthy?
I don't have any of those issues.
Okay.
I've been tested, so.
Well, what is your number one concern here? What do you want to accomplish?
I want him to not be frantically hungry 30 minutes after he finishes eating.
Well, here's one thing that I need to suggest to you. And I obviously could be wrong about this, but what if the child is consuming something that he might have some degree of an allergic response to? Because that could do it. If he's eating either a dairy product or a grain product or, let's just say, wheat or corn or eggs, and he's allergic to them, that could do all this. And it would be sufficient to weaken the lining of his gut, which would mean he'd be more prone to parasites. And, of course, I know I'm redundant going backwards here, but that's why I read that story about the cats. When the cats were fed the right food, they didn't have parasites. But as the cats were fed the cooked, refined food, that's when they had the problem with the parasites. Anyway, I lost him. Okay, if you want to go to the phone lines, it's 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Oh, wow. I got you back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was you. Well, yeah, that's kind of rude of you to hang up on me like that. No, I know it was an accident.
All right. Yeah, we lost power.
So you just don't want him to have a ravenous appetite after you feed him?
Yeah, and I want to make sure.
Is this your first child?
No, it's our fourth.
Oh, well, are the other kids not ravenous after they eat?
No, they do pretty well.
I just figured every boy would have his first supper, his second supper, and his third supper before he had his first bedtime snack.
Well, are you thinking those blood sugar levels are not to be concerned about? Or?
I'm not concerned about them, not for a 2.5-year-old.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Well, I mean, but there's got to be something in here, and I don't know why it is, but I mean, what does he normally like have for breakfast in the morning?
Kefir and I get a smoothie, blueberry, banana smoothie or something like that.
Has he had any antibiotics at all?
No.
Do you know if it was a normal vaginal birth or a C-section or what?
Definitely normal at home.
Oh, this is like all great. Has he had all his vaccine schedule? I'm sorry, I don't have to answer that. Don't answer that. I know what that means.
Oh, yeah, better not.
No, but, yeah, we don't want CPS coming up to your front door going, you're not a good dad. Anyway, I've had pediatricians come to see me, and they have no issues with reporting parents to CPS if they don't do exactly all the drugs and the vaccines they want. I just think it's nuts. But anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, so all I got to do is just say there's always a possibility that if he's got a ravenous appetite and that's what disturbs you and there's parasites, that, you know, the conditions are just right for him to grow. And so if the child does have like a food intolerance, meaning they're eating something that just does not agree with their digestive tract or gut or immune system, then that could be the answer for you.
Okay. You have any other suggestions on how to get rid of the pinworms?
Well, you can go to the pharmacy right now today and get pinworm medicine. It'll be done.
Is that what you would recommend?
Well, I don't know enough about your child, but I'd say if you're ready for it to be done, then that's what it's for, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm caught in a bind right here, but there's so much of the story that there's no way I can figure it out on the air.
Right.
If you and I were sitting down under a tree right now visiting about this, I could ask you like a bunch of questions, and then I could actually examine the child and try to figure out, is there an area of weakness in the child and what's causing it? And so then we could start coming up with solutions. But yeah, if you want the pinworms to be gone, you can give pinworm, just like if somebody called me on the phone and said, hey, I've got COVID SARS number variant 39,000, what do I do? Well, you know, in Bangladesh, they had 800 people that tested positive for the coronavirus in a hospital, and they gave them 12 milligrams a day of ivermectin for 5 days, and they have a 100% cure rate. So I'm not really into worming, you know, human beings with ivermectin for a cow, but I'm thinking, well, which drug has the least possible side effects? So, I mean, you could try. It could be that, I hate to say this to you, but it could have been that your son played with a dead rat and under the bushes. I mean, I've had my kids do that stuff before. Or they could have handled some poop from a mouse. I don't know. And pinworms could have gotten in their mouth. A 2.5-year-old, how do you keep them from putting their fingers in their mouth? And so they do. If you go to the CVS or Walgreens, just walk up to the pharmacist and say, "I have an embarrassing question, but my wife has pinworms, not my 2.5-year-old son. What do I give her?" And they'll say, "Oh, would your wife prefer strawberry banana flavor?" But you can get the medication for like what, $8, and it'll be done.
Okay. So if we end up getting chickens later on, do we need to like take that periodically, or is there some way to?
No, I don't know that I want to say that. But what I would say is, every opportunity is you're trying to learn what is the unique difference in this child with the three ahead of him. Now, I am not trying to be rude by saying it this way, so just kind of let me say it. Right. When you have the first child that's born, how old is your oldest child?
5.
Okay. You already know where I'm going with this, but let me flesh it out for you. When you have a child that's 5 years old, they get the first shot of all the great nutrients that mama's got in her body. And so when the baby nurses, it's like, oh, my goodness, this baby's sucking the nutrients out of me. But that's the way God designed it to. Anytime that you have the second child within 24 months of the first child, then the second child kind of starts getting the crumbs or the leftovers. Now, I'm not trying to be rude by saying that, but they just don't have the nutritional density that the first child had access to.
Right.
And then the third child, they get even less nutritional density. And the fourth child, well, how far are these kids apart? There's part of your answer right there. And so is mother just a little bit worn down and depleted? That may be a rhetorical dumb question to ask.
Yeah.
Okay, well, and that's what we want to focus on. If anything that we can do to strengthen mama, that's probably the first thing I'd run toward. If a child is 2.5 and there's three other ones ahead of him and the oldest one's 5, I would say probably here's an opportunity to try to strengthen mama. Now, there's a phrase that you've never heard before, so I'm going to be the first one to tell you this, okay?
Okay.
If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You've never heard that, have you?
Oh, yeah.
So I would say when the child gets less nutrition than the ones before him, that's where you're going to see the immune system start to break down. So those are things I would look at. But like in the case, and let me tell you this right here. This just kind of popped in my mind. I have a book on the shelf in my office written by Dr. Melvin Werbach. I like him. Yeah, really good researcher, very curious dude, and that's just right up my alley. And he looked at the study from this orphanage in India. And in this orphanage, they had massive dysentery. I don't know if you know what dysentery is, but here's what I think of. The diarrhea from hell that never stops. When you think you've had your last squirt, it just keeps coming and coming and coming. And so you could see how a child could be severely, severely dehydrated, right?
Right.
From dysentery. All they did was give these kids zinc. And it had like a cure rate of like 33 out of 34 cases of dysentery. So the reason they gave him zinc was, what are we going to do to strengthen the lining of the gut to make these kids more resistant to these infections or parasites? Which I don't know pinworms to do that, but, you know, I've treated pinworms in my kids before, so I've been right there with you. And so I'm just going to say that maybe this child has a nutrient deficiency. Now, in adults, if you have somebody that's low in zinc, are you kidding? You could take them out for the world's greatest grass-fed steak dinner. I don't know why I said that, but that's just what popped in my head. If they're low in zinc, you're going to have an overexpression of what's called neuropeptide Y. This is a brain chemical. And when you have a surge of neuropeptide Y, you're going to go, "Hey, baby, I think we should go to Brahms for a quadruple hot fudge banana split sundae." And you go, "Yes, ma'am, I will take you right now." And that's what happens when you're low in zinc. You tend to have these over-the-top food cravings. You just want to eat a lot. That's one example. And so with an adult, if they're low in zinc, they just really like sugar and they like salt. Or both.
Yeah, I've heard you say that many times.
And so I would just say if this 2.5-year-old is relatively... So your kids are just bam, 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 one after the other, right?
Well, we after our first, we had twins.
Oh, wow. Well, how far apart is the first from the twins? How many months in between?
15 months between the first and the twins, and then another 23 months before the 2.5-year-old.
Well, you got to admit, the twins are present just a very unique situation because it's not
they just do one
trying to get the nutrients, it's two.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know what this says about you?
We've tried to.
You are one potent dude. You knew that, though, didn't you?
We are blessed.
Yes, absolutely.
So we've tried to cram the nutrients down my wife as much as we can.
Oh, well, that's great. You've done a great job, then.
But she does, okay, so she's pregnant again. And
oh, you're just now telling me that? How long have you known?
She's in her third trimester.
Oh, so you've known for a few days now, right?
A few days, yeah.
You said, sweetheart, is that a baby bump you have?
Yeah.
Okay.
But she's suspecting she might have gestational diabetes. Do you have suggestions for that?
Yeah, and, you know, all this is kind of making sense right now. So what she probably needs right now, she needs to go to a really high fatty meat diet. Do you know what that would look like?
Lots of coconut oil, avocados,
Okay, that would be part of the equation. But like, for example, if you said, sweetheart, I have a brilliant plan. We're going to start raising chickens in our front yard because we have so many kids to feed. I like the idea of eggs. But eggs are like 65% pure fat.
Yeah.
And so what now?
She's been eating eggs for breakfast every day. That's
oh, good deal. And so if you told her for supper night you're going to grill her a ribeye steak on the grill, well, the more tender the meat is, that means the more fat that's dispersed in it. It's probably unlikely we're going to get fresh whale or seal or walrus blubber for supper because you're not an Eskimo. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that'd be gross.
Well, I guess if you're a child raised in the Arctic tundra, that would be normal, but that's not normal for East Texas, is it?
No.
And so I would err on the side of trying to get more fatty meat, so that could look like eggs. Now, does she do well with cheese?
Most of the time, yes.
Okay, if somebody has
everything but cheddar.
Okay, well, if there's right, but if there's gestational diabetes, what I usually go for is like either goat or sheep cheese. That seems to be really, really good.
Okay.
So the other way of saying this is, I am telling you, she's got to avoid lean meats. Don't eat any lean meats. No white chicken at all. No turkey. No lean fish. I know you convinced her that you needed a bass boat so you could provide fish for the family, but it's too lean. We need the fatter, oilier stuff.
So, like cod or...
Yeah, there you go. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to drench it in butter. Pour as much butter on top of it as you possibly can. See, she probably needs to supplement with a little bit of cod liver oil. I'd stay away from flaxseed oil personally. I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
But cod liver oil would be a good start. And, you know, if you were going to make a salad dressing to pour all over the avocados, which are rich in fat, that's a good call on your part. Probably needs to be like olive oil or something like that.
Yes, we go through a lot of olive oil and coconut oil.
Good. So those are all good suggestions, but... What I would do is I would cut out all grains. I know that sounds kind of harsh to say, hey, baby, no pizza tonight for you. You're going to have to find a different way to kind of nourish her, but you got to cut out the grains if there's gestational diabetes. But usually you're looking at nutrients like the B vitamins across the board. B6 is a really, really big one, and B12 when it comes to gestational diabetes. But magnesium is a huge player. And does she by chance drink like a six pack of Coke every day?
Never.
I didn't think so. But if she's low in magnesium, I mean that's gonna be quite the it's gonna play a powerful role upon her. So probably supplementing with zinc and magnesium. If she eats one big green salad a day, that's gonna go a long way to helping her. But if the sun would come out, oh my goodness, have her pull her blouse up in a private area and sunbathe that baby.
Right. Okay. All good. Oh, my wife also wanted to ask when she and her
is she right there listening right now?
She would be, but the children are probably making too much questions for me.
So she says, I'm gonna get to clear the kids out. What does she do? Give you a list of questions?
We did talk about a couple okay. things I wanted to ask.
Cool.
And she said when she and her sister were dealing with hypoglycemia, they took cinnamon and chromium.
Well, if they deal with hypoglycemia, that means they have food allergies. As simple as that.
Right.
And so, unless we figure out what they should not be eating, if she's eating a food that she's allergic to, that's going to cause all this. And the next thing, and just forgive me for jumping out there, but there is a glandular system that she has called the adrenal glands.
Yes.
Hers are most likely very weak if she suffered from hypoglycemia. So that would be one of the things that we need to run toward to try to fix her blood sugar issue. That she may have weak. Now, she's not irritable or cranky at all, is she?
Rarely.
That's what I thought. Okay. So that's just my interpretation. If a woman suffers from some degree...
She hides it. Maybe that she just hides it very well.
She's probably the most awesome woman of all time. That's probably the truth of it.
Sure. There's no doubt about it.
If she's listening in the room, you better say that. So if she legitimately suffers from some degree of hypoglycemia, then that's one of the first things that I've got to think of in my mind is she's eating something that when she eats it, it causes the body to be stressed or the immune system doesn't like it. And so we have to address that.
Yeah, she's done some elimination type stuff to try to narrow it down to what might be.
Okay, that sounds good.
Things, but,
well, there's got to be something. You know what the big ones are? The big ones are going to be wheat and dairy. Those are the biggest ones I see day in, day out. Does she stay away from wheat?
No, we only get organic wheat, but...
Well, that's good. You're making a good call, but there is a thing called cross-reactivity, and sometimes that does happen. Even if you use, like, a really good heirloom, authentic wheat that, you know, Moses planted 4,000 years ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but if she's had other kind of wheat that her body reacted to, then it might react the same way.
Yes, there's always that distinct possibility. And so what we're doing is we're trying to find out how do we get Mama in a really happy, healthy place, and how do we reset her immune system where she doesn't react to that stuff. One of the things that she might try, just really going heavy into the fermented foods, and so there's a substance known as kimchi.
Yes, we love it.
Oh, good. Does she eat it every day?
Well, only when we are able to get our hands on enough cabbage to make it.
Oh, so you don't buy it in the store then, right?
Well, I mean, sometimes, but...
Well, that's your plan B. I mean, that's the only option you got if you don't have it. So if it's been weeks since she's had some, then either the fermented cabbage or the fermented shredded beets or the kimchi, that's going to be a really, really good starting place for her.
Yeah, she fermented some. I got a bunch of cauliflower recently. It was reduced, and there's a discount store that we go to for groceries a lot, and a bunch of organic cauliflower. She fermented a bunch of it. And she
did you say a discount grocery store? You're talking about Fresh, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, but anyway.
Well, they get. I guess they get surplus, and it's still good and fresh. But
yeah, absolutely, good deal. Well, you got plenty of things to work on. I wish I had more time to spend with you, but I'm almost out of time. Sorry about that.
All right. One real quick question.
I don't have time. I'm already 30 seconds past. Sorry about that. If you'll ask me next week, I'll pick it up, okay?
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, you're listening to Dr. Roy Morgan. This program is Health Essentials. Lord willing, I will be back this next Saturday. Thanks.